The first reading today is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Here ends the reading.
Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and I'm actually reading from the NIV version. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." This is the second reading.
Thank you for reading, Patrick, and please pray for Patrick. He's been in charge of the relocation from here to Sunlight Tower, and he's put in a tremendous amount of work. Thank you, Patrick. In 2013, a very historic meeting of the joint leaders, the deacons, the trustees, and the committee of management unanimously voted to proceed with redevelopment. And they appointed a task force, and three of the four members of the task force are with us today. I am under orders not to give their names and thank them, but I can't help myself. Kay Ian, Jeff, and Rosanna, and David Runciman, who's not here, we owe you an amazing debt of gratitude, and we thank you.
Support of the joint leaders and the pastor group are very thankful.
And Jeff, now I'm supposed to preach. Let's pray. Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. This week, a woman I didn't know came up to me and said, "Are you the vicar of Union Church?" I said, "I'm the pastor of Union Church." And she said, "I hear there's a funeral for your church Sunday." I don't know about a funeral. Maybe this is. In fact, many of you have told me this is the last time you're going to come to Union Church. This is an ending for you. It's a sad time. And I'm sorry for that. And I thought, since someone thinks it's a funeral for Union Church, we should start with an obituary for the Union Church buildings. Union was founded in 1844 by James Legg. His great-grandson Christopher has a very interesting piece in the back of the bulletin. The first Union Church was on Hollywood Road. We'd now call it Lyndhurst Terrace. They bought the property for 400 Hong Kong dollars. In 1845. They moved in 1866 to Staunton Street, and contemporary accounts say it was the handsomest building in the colony. And I like this: not many of the most wealthy people in Hong Kong attend, but many of the most intelligent. But that church too grew, and in September 1889, the congregation bought this piece of property, actually this piece and the property next to us, and by then, because of severe inflation, it cost 5,209 Hong Kong dollars. In 1891, in January, the first service was held. In World War II, most of the congregation was interned in Stanley. When they came out in 1945, the church was no longer standing. A lot of debate, a lot of discussion. Historians think that what happened is the Japanese used the stones and certainly the oak from the church to rebuild Government House. And every time you see that pagoda, think of Union Church. We don't know that any of the stones from the Lyndhurst Union Chapel survive. But we do know that the Staunton Street and First Kennedy Road Church and now the Second Kennedy Road Church share a lot of the same stones. And somebody came up to me several weeks ago and said, "I understand you're giving things away. I'll take all the granite." No, all the granite will go into the new building. You see, if this is a funeral, this is also a witness to the resurrection. The building of Union Church will be resurrected in spectacular fashion in a few years. What do these stones mean to us? But what do these stones mean when we look at the passage from Joshua? Joshua, the name means God saves, was one of two spies sent by Moses into the promised land. The other man's name was Caleb, which means faithful as a dog. I think that's an interesting name. The other 10 spies says, "No, it's too dangerous to go into there." And as a result, everyone who started from Egypt, except Caleb and Joshua, died in the wilderness. But a whole new generation was waiting, and just as God opened the Red Sea for the nation of Israel to flee from Egypt, God opened the Jordan River during the spring flood time so that the nation of Israel could cross over. And clergy is very interesting. The clergy had to hold the ark. The priests were in the center the whole time. And the text tells us that the people hurried over. They weren't quite so sure, but the priests remained standing. And then Joshua said, "Go back and take 12 stones, one for each tribe." and make a cairn, make a memorial, so that people would remember. And when your children say, "What do these stones mean?" you tell them that God brought us across the Jordan. And then let me read from verse 24 of the passage. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." What do these stones mean to us? We love this building, but this building isn't the church. The New Testament passage says that we are the living stones, and Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Not as separate rocks and stones, but together we comprise the church. And we need to ask ourselves the questions, what does this mean? What do these stones mean? First thing is to commemorate, to be a memorial forever. I hope you write on the walls in the fellowship hall, but take time to go up into the youth room and see where the young people wrote on the walls. And Anton and his group had a massive amount of kids, and they asked me to talk, and I was completely unprepared. And I said, "Well, why don't you share your favorite Bible verses?" And immediately someone said 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come." Somebody else shouted out, "Joshua 1:9. That God will be with us always." And Joshua, in that first chapter, tells the people to remember. And in chapter 4, he tells the people to remember. Remember what? That God saves. He lived up to his name when he stressed that message. And it doesn't take much of a biblical scholar to realize that Joshua in the Old Testament has the same name as somebody in the New Testament. Yeshua, translated into Greek, is the name Jesus. God saves. Now, I was thinking about this. I don't know if I would want to be called Caleb, faithful as a dog, but I'd love to be called God Saves. But one of my other favorite characters in the Old Testament is Daniel. Does anyone know what Daniel means? God judges. God will judge. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus' name means God saves. What if a Daniel had come with a message, God judges? And he does. But remember. Remember that cross. Remember that sacrifice that God made through his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember, commemorate. I know we're already over time, and I've cut every joke out of my sermon, but can I put one back in just for... You heard about the monks who were busily scribbling, and then all of a sudden one said, "Oh, no!" And the senior monk said, "What's going on?" "You know where it says celibate? It's so supposed to be celebrate." Now, that's why I'm glad I left all the jokes out. But we are called to celebrate, to rejoice, to remember that all that God has done. In Legg's statement that we read, he boils it all down to two things: worship and witness. We don't neglect to gather together to celebrate. And we want men and women to know Jesus Christ. What do these stones mean? It's a commemoration. It's a celebration. But most of all, it's a commitment. Joshua 24, verse 15 is one of the most famous verses. Joshua looks out at his people and he says, choose today who you're going to serve. You can go back to your other gods, or you can serve God Almighty. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then they took a stone to remember the commitment they made. All of you should have received a stone. I invite you to take the stone out. Hold it in your hand. We're going to take a picture in just a moment, but as we prepare for this picture, I'd like you to hold the stone in your hand and look up at that cross. And remember the commitment that God made to you through Jesus Christ, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And I'd like you to think about your own commitment to Christ, the God who saves. But first of all, we need you all to stand and turn around. Those of you in the balcony or under the balcony, to come down the center aisle.
Okay. Thank you very much.